So we're learning the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Chet Amud Bet and Nun Tet Amud Aleph. The reason we're learning this is because it is Parshat Noach, and these Dafim in Sanhedrin, from about Nun Zayin through Nun Tet Samech, are the major source of much of Hilchot Bnei Noach. Okay, Hilchot Nochri. I know that you're thinking that that we're going to be talking mostly about the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. We're actually not. We're going to be talking about something else. Maybe one of the questions is why we're not talking about Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, or at least why what we're talking about doesn't fall under that rubric. But we're going to be talking a little bit about Goy Sheshavat, a Goy that keeps Shabbos, or a Goy that learns Torah. And then we'll find out about also the topic of why it is that there are mitzvot that are in the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach that get basically reintroduced to us after Har Sinai, after all. If they're part of Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, we have to keep them anyways, don't we? We're also Bnei Noach, even if we are Bnei Israel. Let's jump in. Okay, so first we're going to do the Gemara. Gemara, we're starting over here. We're not starting in the section that talks about the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. We're starting kind of in the middle over here. And the Gemara starts off not talking about Bnei Noach. Amar Rabbi Reish Lakish. Okay, so Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, "Hamagbia yado al chaveru, af api shelo hikahu, nikra rasha." A person who raises his hand against a friend, against somebody else, even if he never hits him, he's called a rasha. Take a guess where we learn this from without even looking in the Gemara. Where do we learn this idea that a person is called a rasha, even if he never actually hit the guy?
Moshe said it to the Mitzri.
That's right. Moshe said that. Shneimar. Vayomer la rasha, lama takeh re'acha. Okay? Lama hikita lo ne'amar, el lama takeh. Af bishlo hikahu, nikra rasha. The Torah calls him a rasha, even though it's clear that he has not yet hit anybody. Because if he had hit somebody, then Moshe would have said, lama hikita et re'acha. But he didn't. He said, lama takeh et re'acha, which means he's going to do it. He has not yet done it. And that tells you that he is still a rasha, even if he hasn't hit yet. Fine. Amar Ziri, Amar Bichanina, Nikra Chote. So there's a difference. One says that he's called a Rasha, and one says he's simply called a Chote. Shneamar v'im lo lakachti b'chazaka, uchti v'adhi chatat anarim gedola ma'od. Okay, so these are different proof texts. Let me just go back for a second to the Rasha one. I heard Rabbi Rosner give shir about this, and he quoted something. I'm not sure what it was. I thought he said Margoliot Hayam, which is a commentary on Sanhedrin, but he actually said Margoliot Hashas, which I thought might be a mistake because I don't know what Margoliot Hashas is. I have to look it up. But anyways, what he quoted was that the limbs of a person's body, the major limbs, are the Einayim, Shinayim, Yadayim, and Raglayim. Okay, that's an idea, and they actually have the Rosh Tevot of the word Ashir, which means that if a person has control over these parts of his body, his enayim, his shinayim, his yadayim, and his raglayim, that person is ashir. He's a sameach b'chalko because he has control. And if you lose control of those parts of your body, then you're not an ashir. You're considered somebody who is poor. So what happens when you take these limbs away? So he says, for example, what happens when you take away the yud? So you take the word ashir and you take away the yud for yadayim, because a person's lost control of his yadayim, he's hitting, then what happens to the remaining letters? What do you have left? You have only ayin, shin, resh, which scrambled up is the word rasha. So when you lose control of your yadayim, you're no longer an ashir, you're simply a rasha. Okay, nice idea. I'm sure you could play with the other letters as well and come up with interesting things on your own. Let's keep going. Amar Rabbi Lazar, lo nitna karka ela labali zroot. Once we're talking about, I skipped a line. One second. I skipped a few lines. Here. Rav Huna Amar, tikatetz yado. What should happen to somebody who raises his hand in order to hit somebody? So Rav Huna says, we should cut his hand off. Shneamar, uzro rama tishaber. It should, a strong arm, Rashi says, "Haragil larum yado al chaveru." It should tishaber. It should be broken. So Rav Huna thinks you should go even more. But then there's another one that says, "Rav Huna katz yada." That it once happened that Rav Huna actually did this. Take a look. Rashi says, "Me adam echad shaya ragil lahakot et chaveru." There was a person who He was a biryon. He was a tough guy. He used to hit his friend. So Rav Huna kanso b'kach. Okay, it's a lashon tzagino hor. He gave him a knas. What was his knas? He cut off his hand. Kedamar pirkin deleil. Beit din hayumakin va'onshin shalom minatori lasot siag v'gedur l'davar. Beit din have the right to give out punishments that aren't even technically the punishments. So, for example, in this case, of course, the Torah doesn't demand that you cut off somebody's hand just because they're raising their hand to hit somebody else. But Rav Huna saw that this person kept doing it and he was endangering the public, endangering society maybe. And so he felt that it was necessary to cut this guy's hands off. So that's what he did. We talked about this, I think, on a Sunday night shiur about capital and corporeal punishment and corporal punishment. And it's a role in halakha. Okay, keep going. Amr Lazar, while we're still talking about violent, aggressive people, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Ein lo takana ela kvura. Person, there's nothing you can do. He has to be buried. Shenemar v'ish zroa lo ha'aret. A person who is an ish zroa, a person who relies on his hands and his arms, he's violent. So what happens? He gets the land. What does that mean? He gets the land. He gets buried in the land. Oved admato. I keep skipping lines. I don't know why I keep doing that. Amar Belazar, Lonit Nakarka Elo Lebeli Zroot. Belazar says another meaning to that pasuk, that the land, property, real estate is only given to people who are strong. Shneamar Ve'ish Zroa Lo Ha'aretz. Very interesting. Rashi explained, he says this almost in a laudatory fashion. He says, if you want to make sure that a person, that the right person gets land, make sure you find somebody strong. Why? Klomar ein ra'ui liknot karka ela levnei zroa. Ebnei sheha tegar raba ayidei karka shabaot behemot mafsidot v'ganavim bain v'gonvin v'oririn alav v'tarach shehi chazak lamod kenegdan. Because land is something that people fight over. Animals come to attack it. Robbers come to steal it from you. Lawyers come to argue about it. You need somebody who is tough, somebody who's not going to give in, somebody who's not weak-willed. That's a person that you should give land to. So, you know, if you're bequeathing land to a son or something like that, then you should make sure to give it to the one who's the strongest one. Fine. Amar Ish Lakish, May Dichtiv Oved Admato Yisba Lechem. Imose Adam Atzmo Keved Ladama Yisba Lechem Im Lav Lo Yisba Lechem. You have to work the land. You have to work the land in order to be satisfied. Okay, now here's the part that we wanted to get to. Amar Ish Lakish. Here's a new teaching. Oved Kochavim Sheshabat Chayav Mita. A non-Jew who keeps Shabbos is chayav mita. How do we know? Shneamar, v'yom v'layla lo yishbotu. It's a pasuk in Bereshit, right? That says v'yom v'layla lo yishbotu. This is this week's parsha. You day and night you should not rest. Okay, Rashi says this is not just stam a statement. This is essentially a command. Okay. Is the Rashi over here? Here. Over kochavim sheshavat mimelachto yom shalem, a whole day. Chayav mita shneamar yom v'leil lo yishbotu v'kaderish lei lo yishbotu mimelacha da'avnei adam namikai v'lo tema lo yishbotu ahach sheshet itim. Dekrakai klomar lo yivatlu v'lo yifzeku miliyot. The standard pshat in the pasuk doesn't mean that a person should not work. It means that the land will not stop working. Od kol yimei ha'aretz zera v'katzira v'kor v'chom v'ketz v'choref v'yom laila l'shbotu. It means that nature is not going to rest. That's what the pasuk means. But Rashi says, Chazal understood from this that it's also referring to man, that man should not rest. So this is one of the things that B'nai Noach need to worry about. A Nochri has to make sure that he's working all week long. He shouldn't take any days off. Okay? Fine. V'amar mar, azarha azhara shalahen zoyim mititan. We've already seen this. You haven't seen it, but it's earlier in the Gemara, that whenever there is an azhara, whenever there is a warning that they're not supposed to do something, that's immediately a death penalty. In other words, all of the mitzvot b'nei Noach are liable for the death penalty. Doesn't matter which one. You know, murder is unsurprisingly liable for the death penalty, but so is thievery, robbery. Gazelle is also liable for the death penalty, even though it's not for a Jew, obviously. But for a non-Jew, it is azharatan zohi mitatan, which means that's why nochri sheshabat chayav mita. Amar,
so you're saying this is one of the seven mitzvot, but I know?
I'm not saying that. But it's a good point, Meir. how could it be that this should be chayav mitzvah if it's not one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach? Good question. We'll have to return to that. Amar Avina, afilu sheni b'shabbat. Even if they, it's not just talking about a goy shabbat on Shabbat, that a non-Jew that keeps the Sabbath day on Saturday, but even on a Monday, afilu sheni b'shabbat. That also. So the Gemara says, Meir's question, v'lichshav agabi sheva mitzvos, but then this should be one of the sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach. Why is it not one of the sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach? The answer is, ki kachashiv sheva altase, kum ase lo kachashiv. When we talk about sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach, we're only talking about the ones that are sheva altase. So for example, birkat Hashem, you shall not curse Hashem. Murder, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, right? You shall not eat ever minachai. They're all shave ve'al ta'aseh. And this one is a kum
va'aseh.
What's that?
Appointing judges. Having a legal
Mayor is either on the ball or he remembers the Gemara. So hold on, before we get there, first let's just talk about this for a second. Is, I don't understand, if a goy, let's say on Monday, he decides not to work, that is a violation of kum ase? It's confusing, no? Isn't he not working? Like, how is he violating it that way?
Does it mean only if he considers it a Shabbos?
Yeah, of course. If he considers it a Shabbos and he says, I'm not working today because it's Shabbos. So isn't that a lotase? Isn't the lotase of goy sheshavas don't not work? Like, what? How does it work?
It's not the don't work. It's the don't keep Shabbat. It's the zachor more than the shamor.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting way to put it. So Rashi says, "Kum ase lo kashiv, v'hai lo yishbotu, kum ase malachahi." It's a kum ase. It means that a non-Jew is obligated to work every day. He's not forbidden from not working. He's obligated to work. Okay. So that's why it's a kum ase. Now, Mayor, say your question again.
Isn't one of the shavimis for b'nei Noach to appoint judges to have a legal system?
Yafe. So the Gemara immediately asks in the next line, v'hadinin kum asehu. But we do have a mitzvah aseh in the shavah mitzvahs b'nei Noach, which is dinin, to appoint judges and to do mishpat. Mishpatu v'kachashiv. We count that one. So the Gemara answers, kum aseh v'sheva al taseh ninu. No, because dinin is tricky. It actually contains both. It contains a kum ase and a lo tase. Why? Rashi explains. Kum ase mishpat. Fine. V'shev al tase avel. But you're also not allowed to do corrupt stuff. Afilu eina mitzvah lasot mishpat v'hu yoshev v'bata musar shalo lasot avel. You're not allowed to do crime. You're not allowed to be involved in crime. V'azhara lo tasu avel. Eina kum ase mishpat ele l'chuda kaima. But the mitzvah of lishpot is just you have to work. It's a pure kum ase. Okay? So that's a pure kum ase. I guess this would actually be connected maybe to the Machlokas Rambam and Ramban about Shechem. Remember that in Shechem, Reuven and Shimon, Shimon and Levi slaughtered Shechem, and Yaakov was not happy with them. And the Ramban wonders, why did they do that? And if I remember correctly, the Rambam says the reason they did that was because there's a mitzvah of dinim. The reason why it was okay to kill everybody was because they didn't appoint judges properly, the people of Shechem. So that was what they were chayav for. So the Ramban rejects the Rambam. The Ramban says it doesn't make any sense because they were all, you know, they're subjects. What are they going to do? They're going to fight with Shechem ben Hamor and Hamor, how could they fight with them? So Ramban has a different answer. He says that the problem was that they did all the other things. They did all the other Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. We don't know that they did, but we presume that they violated all the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. But maybe that's perhaps connected to this. And whether you see dinim as something that you have to kum ase do, or it also includes Sheva Altase, which the Rambam definitely seems to be assuming. Okay, fine. Fine, so that's in terms of Goy Sheshavas. The other thing Gemara wants to talk about is Amar of Yochanan, Ove Kochavim She'osek B'Torah Chayev Mita. A non-Jew who gets involved in learning Torah, Talmud Torah, he's also Chayev Mita. Interesting. Shneamar, Torah Tzivah Lanu Moshe, Morasha. Torah tivah lanu Moshe, morasha kihilat Yaakov. Morasha, lanu morasha, v'lo lahem. It's ours, and it's not theirs. Okay? It's ours, it's not theirs. So what's the problem? What's the problem with them learning Torah just because it's ours and it's not theirs? Why should that be a problem? So Rashi says, what was that, Mayor?
Geneva.
Oh, Rashi says, V'lola em v'ikam yishum gezel. Kinda mefarish, like the Gemara is going to say. So here, I don't know if Mayor was quoting the Gemara or he was quoting Rashi. But the Gemara immediately says, V'lich shagave shave mitzos. If you say that it's from the word morasha, so then it's gezel. But in that case, you know, then it's one of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, essentially, right? It is one of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. Or the other option is mandamar morasa, that the problem is morasa, right? There's a Gemara that wonders whether we should read this morasha or morasa. What's morasa?
Betrothed.
So, morasha kilat Yaakov, like it's our inheritance, like it's owned by us, or me'orasa, we are engaged, we're betrothed to the Torah. And if we're betrothed to the Torah, then there's a different problem. Dino kinara morasa, debeskila. Okay? Which is a separate problem, which is arayos. So, in other words, one way or another, it actually fits nicely into the Shabbat mitzvah b'nei noach, because it's either gezel or it's gila arayos. Okay, obviously homiletically.
But I don't understand how gezel can apply to Torah because it's not a discrete thing. If they take it, we still got it.
It means that we have an intimate connection with the Torah. You know, you could say the same thing about all arayos. You know, Rabbi, just because a man is married to a woman, if another man comes and sleeps with that woman, the husband didn't lose anything. No, it's that's the nature of arayos. There's an intimate connection between these two people. And it can't be violated by another person.
Morasa, I get, because that changes the nature of the relationship between the man and the woman. But it doesn't, if someone else learns Torah, it doesn't diminish the Torah that everyone else is learning.
Ah, you're talking about the stealing.
Okay.
That's true, but why does it have to? I mean, once again, if I have a hammer, yes? Hammer in my house. And you come into my house and you take it and you bring it to your house and you hammer some things and you bring it back and it's none the worse for wear. That was still gezel, right? It's not yours. You're not allowed to take it. They're very similar.
Yeah, but Torah, the whole idea of Torah sort of being a flame that you can share, it increases. There's no.
It's ours. It's ours. Morasha kilat Yaakov. That's the idea. It's not. It doesn't belong to the world. It belongs to us. That would be the idea.
Okay.
Now, there are some distinctions to be made when we get down to the brass tacks of halacha lemaisa, how we evaluate this, and some of your concerns will be brought into the mix when we do that.
I have
an issue to teach Goyim Antoninus and.
Yafet. So that's a Tosas and Chagiga that we're going to, I think, start off with. All right, well, we'll get to it.
I have a question here. Are we saying that any guy who reads the Bible is over on this?
So once again, so we have when we get down to Lamaisa, I mean, and face value based on the Gemara, yeah, it seems like it. It seems like it. But once we get down to the Lamaisa or get into the Mefarshim, we'll see that there are some distinctions, some large distinctions to be made that open it up a little bit. It's not nearly as severe as it looks. Okay, let's keep going. Meitive. What kind of question is Meitive?
Question of logic.
Question from a higher source. It's a contradiction from a higher source. I think you're thinking of Machkif. So Meitive is a question from a higher source. Haya Rabbi Meir Omer. So in other words, what we've got over here is we have Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish on the other daf. Reish Lakish says they can't keep Shabbos. Rav Yochanan says they can't learn Torah. So Rabbi Meir, who's a Tana, Omer Minayin Shafilo Ovid Kucham Veosek Batorah Shehu Kekoin Gadol. Afuch, Rabbi Meir says, non-Jew who is Osek Batorah is like a Kohen Gadol. That sounds good. Shneimar Shayase Otam HaAdam V'Chay Behem. Kohan Levim Yisrael Nomar Lo Neamar Ela HaAdam. Right? Asher Yase Otam HaAdam. HaAdam, that means anybody, human being. Halamata Shafilo Ovid Kocham Vosib Gator, Hare Huke Kohen Gadol. Oh, sounds like it's okay. Based on this limud. Now, just to stop for a second and talk about this limud for just a minute. What does this limud mean? It means that Ha'adam implies that we're talking about what?
All mankind.
All of humanity. Okay. Now, is this really so simple?
No, there's lots of Gemaras that say Ha'adam only refers to Jews.
Ah, yafeh. So there are no Gemaras that say Ha'adam refer to Jews, and I'll prove it to you. So the Tosas over here says, Perish Rashi, Velate Leli Rav Meir, Atem Kurim Adam. Rashi, does Rashi point this out? Let's see. Ha'adam. Rabbi Meir, Leitle Atem Kurim Adam. So Rashi simply says, Rabbi Meir doesn't hold of all those drashot that say that Adam is only Jews, right? Leitle Atem Kurim Adam, Vein Ovde Kochavim Kurim Adam. There's an opinion that says, that's Rabbi Shimon, who says only Jews are called Adam and non-Jews are not called Adam. So Rashi says, Rabbi Meir doesn't hold that way. It's machlokas, apparently, Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Shimon. So it makes sense that Rabbi Meir should say, Ha Adam refers to everybody, refers to non-Jews alike. Tosa says, Vakasha, the Beperkam of the Krisos, Pater Sach, Mishem and Hamishka, Lovet Kochavim, Mashma, Dahavi Tam, Mishum Techtiv, Al Basar Adam, Lo Yisach, Atem Krim Adam. Over there, Rabbi Meir seems to say, Atem Krim Adam really does apply, that it's only the Jews that are called Atem. So how do we understand this? So I don't want to read through the whole thing, but basically, Shitas Toisvos, I don't even know if it's over here, is that, here, Rabbeinu Tam mefarish diyesh chilach ben Adam leha Adam. Depends if the pasuk says Adam or ha Adam. If it says Adam, then it means only Jews. Atem Kurin Adam. But if it says Ha Adam, then it could mean also non-Jews. Mm. And as I was reading this, I was reminded, I actually saw this in the Bar Banel this week, new Bar Banel that I have. And he actually mentions this. Imayot klal ha'anashim b'nei Adam hema. It's true that all people are b'nei Adam. Hina ha'uma Yisraelit b'frat hayu ikar ha'min v'amuvchar shebo. The Jews were the primary, were the prototype or the mufchar, the cream of the crop of the humans. Ad shebibnei zeh nikret ha'uma azot Adam. Shenamar ve'atnat sonit son maritei Adam atem. It's a beferish pasuk in Yechezkel that they're called Adam. But then I think he goes on. Let me just see. I could have sworn. I thought he actually differentiates between Adam and Ha'adam, but maybe I'm making that up. I can't remember.
I think he does. I thought it was the other way around. I thought Ha'adam was the Jews, but I guess Tosfos pretty right and I'm pretty wrong.
where it gets really complicated, where you have full-on machlokos, so this is actually about Kiamus Adam ba'ohel. When a person dies in ohel, whether or not Tumas mate applies for a non-Jew or not. And there's like three opinions. It applies not at all, it applies fully, or it applies only halfway. But so that's this Tosfos over here. There's lots of discussion about this. It's far from simple, but that's what comes out of this Gemara over here. Certainly, Rabbi Meir over here is assuming that Ha'adam comes to include non-Jews.
Okay. I was just looking in the Chumash and in Parshat Bereshit, Adam is referred to usually as Ha'adam.
As Ha'adam?
Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Vayaveh El Ha'adam Vayikra Ha'adam Shemot Lechol HaBehema Ulaof HaShemayim and so on.
So there one could make the case that it could be different. Why? Because there Ha'adam means the man and it's referring to a specific man. Right? Which is different than our Pasuk, which says Asher Yasa Atam Ha'adam, right? Which doesn't mean the man like a specific man. It just means any man, right? So it could be slightly different over there. Okay, fine. Either way, the Gemara wants to know. So what's the deal? Rabbi Yochanan says that a non-Jew is not allowed to learn Torah, but Rabbi Meir says that a non-Jew not only is he allowed to learn Torah, but he's like a Kohen Gadol, which just sounds like it's good. So the Gemara answers Hatam. Bishava mitzvahs didu. When a Rebbeir says that it's a really good thing for a non-Jew to learn Torah, what's he talking about? He's talking specifically about them sitting in a shir, which is on the topic of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, which is their tchum, right? Oskin behilchot otan Sheva Mitzvot lihyot bekin behen. They're learning Sheva Mitzvahs, so they know what to do. Yeah, I mean, we need that, you know? We need non-Jews to learn Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Otherwise, how are they going to know about them? How are they going to know what they're allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do? Okay? Now, I think we're going to stop there. Even though there's a lot more to do over here, and I was planning on doing some more in the Gemara, but I see it's already 9:15, and I wanted to get to the sources. If we have time, we'll come back and do a little bit more of the Gemara. I doubt we will, but we'll see. So first, let's hit up this Rambam. Okay, so the Rambam, how does he read our Gemara? Actually, let me go back for 1 second and just make it clear what Pashat Pshat in the Gemara is, according to Rashi. Okay, when it says, Goy Sheshavas, Ovid Kochavim, Sheshavas chayev misa. Okay, what does Rashi say? Ovid kochavim sheshavas mimelachto yom shalem chayev mita. Shneimar yom v'leila lo yishbotu. Okay, he doesn't mince words. He just says chayev mita, just like the Gemara says. Just, you know, the simplest way of understanding it. What does Rambam do? Rambam says akum sheasak b'torah chayev mita. Lo yasok el sheva mitzvot shalem bilvad. So far, so good. That's what our Gemara says. A non-Jew is only allowed to learn his mitzvot. A non-Jew who keeps Shabbos, even on a Monday, let's say, that's considered chayav mita. Now, he does add on a couple of words, is im asahu la'atzmo kemo Shabbat, which is not in the Gemara. It means if he makes it for himself like a Shabbat. But that could simply mean that he's not by accident not working. Like if he sleeps the day away by accident, so okay, fine. But if he purposely doesn't work because he's making it into a Sabbath day, so then that's considered chayav mita. Vein tzarich lomar im asa mo'ed latzmo. Okay, so here the Rambam is already adding something. Okay? He's already adding if they make up a holiday. Not even Shabbat. Make up a different holiday. How do they make it a holiday? Not clear. But they make it into a holiday. Fine. But then here's the key. Why does the Rambam add this? We'll understand why the Rambam adds this now. Klalo shel davar Ein minichan otan lechadesh dat, v'lasot mitzvot la'atzman midatan. The key over here is that they're not allowed to innovate and make up religions such that they make up mitzvot for themselves on their own. Ela, what do we expect from them? O yeger tzedek v'kabel kol ha-mitzvot, either convert to Judaism and accept all the mitzvot, o yamod b'torato v'lo yusif v'lo yigareah. Keep what they're supposed to keep, the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, and that's it. Don't add and don't detract. V'masak b'Torah, if he starts learning Torah, like we were talking about before, o Shavat, o Chidesh Davar, makin oto v'onshin oto, umodin oto shu chayav mita al zeh, aval eino neherag. Okay, this is a different problem with the Rambam. I don't understand. We said he's chayav mita, but now we're saying he's not neherag. Why? If he's chayav mita, why is he not neherag?
Because who's going to do it?
Who's going to do it? Who's going to do it if he eats Eiver Min HaChai?
Same thing, exactly. So it's mitzvah b'dei Hashem up b'dei Shemayim. It just means it's not done by the Beit Din.
So if we look up the halacha in the Rambam about Eiver Min HaChai, you expect to find that if a non-Jew eats Eiver Min HaChai, he's chayav mita, but eino neherag? I don't think so. I wouldn't think so, especially since the Rambam separates it. You know what? Let's look it up right now. Rambam Hilchos Melachim Perak Yud Halacha Tes. I assume that everything else is right before that. Let's take a quick peek if we can. Sorry, yeah. Halacha. I went to the wrong place. I went Halacha, not Mishnah. Mishnah Torah. Hilchot Melachim will be at the bottom. What was it? Yud Tet. Need to move this out of the way. Yud. Here we are in Tet. This is the one we're looking at. Akam Shasak Batara Chayav Mita. So let's look up a little bit. Here, look at this. Kfar Be'anu Shekol Mita B'nei Noach B'Sayif. Now, if you say mayor that all of these is just a theoretical, and he's not, that nobody's going to actually do it, but it doesn't seem to be that way. The Rambam goes out of his way in our halacha to say, he's chayav mita, but we don't actually kill him. Mashma, that in other cases, when he's chayav mita, we do kill him. No?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what's the deal? So, here's the simplest answer. Rav Yosef Karo has the simplest answer. He says, to go back to our original issue. There's sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach. Those are the ones they killed for. Then there's these extra two, goy sheshavat and goy shalama torah. Those aren't sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach. Avagav the Gemara Amru Shosik B'Torah Ubichal Gezel Dichtiv Lanu Marasha V'Lo Lahem Ulman Dama Dederish Marasha Kama Marasa Havi Bichal Arayot Sofer Rabbeinu Shein Asmachtot Ba'alma. Just an asmachta. What's an asmachta? Especially in the language of the Rambam. It's a poetic. It's a poetic license. The rabbis are saying something, but they don't really mean that you should do it literally. It really should be counted as one of the seven. The implication of the Gemara is that even Shabbos should also be counted and they should be killed for it. However, he says that you don't avalola in katala deinu nerag el al sheva mitzvos v'afilu b'haneo ikaman damar einu nerag al kulam. There are even those who say that they don't get killed for all of them, but fine. So Rav Yosef Karo gets it out of it. He says that it's just an asmachta. That's how we're going to get out of it. Fine. Here I have Rav Avram Erlinger, who's going to bring in another issue, but also this one. The Birkas Avram, modern day Rosh Yeshiva. So he asks a different question. He wants to know, what's this business with the Rambam making up that, oh, klalo shel davar ein menichin oto l'chadesh dat? If I were to ask you beforehand, what's the reason why a non-Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbat? Right? Let's leave the learning Torah business out. What's the reason that a non-Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbat? What would you say?
To differentiate between Jews and non-Jews?
Okay. Why is it any different than the other mitzvah? Why is there no goy shalavash tzitzit chayav mita?
Shabbos is so key to differentiating between us and them.
So you're saying the same thing as my father, just it's very fundamental. Shabbat is fundamental in a way that other things are not. Okay.
Shabbos,
kashrus.
There's like
it's a special gift to Am Yisrael.
It's like four principles: Shabbos, kashrus, issues.
Okay, but you don't find that kashrus is an issue. If an Andrew decides, okay, I'm going to keep kosher. It's very similar to saying, I'm going to keep Shabbos. I'm no longer going to eat pig because the Jews don't eat pig. Why is that not an issue? So I would have said similar to what you guys are saying.
It's got to be deeper than one of these because the punishment is so severe. It's got to be deeper than the things we say.
Oh, the fact that he's chayav mita. Yeah, I agree. So I don't know. I would have guessed, oti b'nei u'b'neichem. Right? I would have guessed that, okay, because Shabbos represents the relationship between us and God.
Tefillin, Bris Mila.
Oh, good. Good. So that was the same thought that I had. So the truth is that Bris Mila, they're also not allowed to do. It doesn't say
they're
that they get, it doesn't say that they're Chayav Misa, but they're explicitly not allowed to do that. But let's leave that aside for a second. Pinchas, it sounded like you were trying to say something.
Yeah, I said, Shabbat is a special gift to Am Yisrael. Shabbat. So it's a special gift. It's like the Morasha thing with Torah.
Right.
The Shabbat is
right.
Similar.
That's what I would have said as well. But then I remembered one thing before I said that. I still think it can stand on its own, although Simon's questions are in their place, that there are other things that are otot. But I do want to point out, I do remember this past year learning the Or HaChaim, and he has actually a different way of understanding the word ot, in oti b'nei u'b'neichem. I think we typically understand ot, as we've been saying until now, that it is some kind of sign that, you know, we have a special relationship with God. It's like a friendship bracelet, right? We keep Shabbos, and that shows that we're connected to God, similar to tefillin, okay? Which I think is fair. And I think that's accurate in this way that we usually see it. But the Or HaChaim HaKadosh actually says it means something totally different. He says oat here doesn't mean it's an oat between the two of us that, you know, wink, wink, we're in a relationship, but rather it's an oath that Hashem gives us about something. It's a sign that about something. What is it about? What is Shabbos supposed to be a sign of? Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. It's about Briat Olam, that's true, but also Me'ein Olam Haba. Maybe those two are related. I don't remember exactly what he says, but I know he says Shabbat is supposed to be an oath of something in the future. In other words, your keeping of Shabbat, if you do it properly, this is a preview. It's an oath of what's going to happen in the future, in which case it's totally not, you know, specific to us. You know, it's not exclusive to us. But okay, this is a question that Rav Avram Erlinger asks. Why does the Rambam think that Lechadesh Dat is somehow connected to keeping Shabbos? Neged Pashta the Sugan and Pesh Rashi, Haya Nira the Yesh Lomer, the Haya Kashalo, Madit Nan Bekidushin, Matinu Shasa Avram Avinu et Kol Torah Kula Ajla Nitna. Okay, so here he brings us to a different question. And this is a question that we'll spend a little bit of time on. It's a question associated usually with the Sefer Parshas Drachim. Anybody know who wrote the Sefer Parshas Drachim and what it's about? So the Sefer Parshas Drachim was written by the author of the Mishnah Lamelech, one of the more famous commentaries on the Rambam. And it is a Sefer which deals with the question of how could it be that the Avot kept all of the mitzvot when sometimes we see them sinning, right? It's all about assuming that the Avot kept all the mitzvot. Let's tell a bunch of Divrei Torah explaining how exactly that works. And in one place, he actually asks the inverse question. He says, I don't understand. Avram kept the whole Torah. Yes? He even kept, it says, Erev Tavshilin, and he kept Shabbos. But wait a second. Was Avram Jewish? Presumably not. Avram was a Ben Noach. So how can he keep Shabbos? How is he allowed to do that? No? You hear the question? How is Avram allowed to keep Shabbos? He's a Nachrish.
He was the first... He was the first Jew, so he kind of gets a get out.
So you're assuming. So Simon, you're assuming that he was a Jew. The truth is that this is the subject of a massive machlokas we showed him, the Ramban, the Balei Tosfos, whether or not he was considered Zera Yisrael, which would be anachronistic, right? Did he have Kedushas Yisrael? That's basically what the question is. Now, of course, if he has Kedushas Yisrael, then the question is moot. And of course, it's okay that he did it. But if he's not, if he considered a regular Ben Noach, then how is he allowed to keep Shabbos?
Didn't he always carry something around with him in his pocket?
I don't see any sources like that. Oh, well, I mean, I should correct myself. That's going to be half of an answer that we're going to see. But we don't have any midrashim or anything like that. That's an achronish answer, which I would expect from a Talmud of Rabbi Rosner. So Rav Avram Erlinger says, oh, no, this is why the Rambam writes what he writes, because look what the Rambam says. He says, Ein menichin oto l'chadesh dat. That's the problem. The problem is that he's making up a religion. So he says, Yitachin shemisham yatzal Rambam, derakim asakin l'chadesh dat asur. V'lo b'torat einu mitzuvah v'osa l'kayim masha atira kadesh baruch l'savat l'yisrael. Why was Avram keeping Shabbos? Was he keeping Shabbos in order to invent a religion, a new religion? No. He knew that in the future Hashem was going to give the Torah. This is his assumption of how this works. There are many different understandings of why Avram would keep the Torah. But one might be, he knows that Hashem is going to give the Torah to Bnei Israel, so he wants to do it early. He's not making up anything new. He's not claiming to start a new religion. He's just saying, I'm going to keep it early. So there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, fine. That's his first answer. But then he says, but wait a second. Ben Noach sheratza lasot mitzvah, mishar mitzvot ha-Torah, kadei lekabel schar, ein moninato lasot otah kehilchata. Actually, no, let's skip this part. Here he says, Nu l'tarz d'Avram avinu mimasha makshim keitzat shamar Shabbat, shehei katav ha-Rambam, she'o yihiya ger tzedek v'yikabel kol mitzvot. He has to pick either to be, hold on one second. I'll put you on mute. What's Yosef? You want to watch a little bit of Yosef?
Lo Yosef.
Okay, you can watch
Yosef.
A little bit.
Lo Yosef.
Oh, I thought it was
Lo Yosef, Lo Yira.
I thought it was on mute. Oh, well. All right. Ignore that. Fine. Isn't this how your kids communicate with you? Pieces of napkin? Where was I? Let's see if we got rare. Fiza cut of being shikibal at my commenters. Ah. Yafe. So he says, oh, another way of putting this is that Avram is not making up a new religion. What's he doing? He's keeping the religion of the Jews. The only thing is that it didn't exist yet. Right? What do you expect from Avram? Avram wants to keep Shabbos. Rambam says the only way you're allowed to keep Shabbos is if you No, what Jewish. Did Rambam say? Yeah, you convert. Rambam says, he says, choose. O yeger tzedek, vikaba kol mitzvot, o yamod b'torah tov, lo yosif, lo yigareh. So Avram looked at this Rambam, and he said, okay, you know, sign me up. I want to be a ger tzedek. So that's what he did. He was a ger tzedek. Now, it's impossible to be a ger tzedek, because there's no Judaism, right? There's no chiyuv mitzvot. There's no har Sinai. But, and by the same token, he's not rejecting anything. He's not going between the lines. He has no option of being a ger tzedek. So he's doing as best as he could. That's what Rav Avraham Erlanger writes over here. He says,
if there's no concept of Shabbat, how can Avraham be over here for keeping Shabbat?
Why is there no concept? Oh, you're asking in the inverse? You're saying before there's a mitzvah of Shabbat formally, then he can't be held liable for keeping Shabbat. That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
So that's not necessarily true, right? Because Yom V'Layla Lo Yishbotu actually precedes that, right? Which is an interesting point that you're making, actually, Mike. Let me take your point and let me twist it around, actually. The mitzvah of not keeping Shabbat precedes the giving of Shabbat, which is interesting.
The mitzvah of not keeping Shabbos?
Yeah. The mitzvah that a non-Jew has to work every day precedes Matan Torah. So in that sense, Avram, it's actually it's a tougher question on Avram than it is on a modern day non-Jew. A modern day non-Jew can say, yeah, I want to keep Shabbos because there's such a thing as Shabbos. But Avram, what's his excuse? Avram, for him, there's actually a mitzvah to work. There's a mitzvah he has to work every single day. It's one of the Shabbat mitzvahs Bnei Noach. He has to work. And he gets up and he says, I want to keep Shabbos. That's hard.
I think he's saying something different over the way I read the words. And I think this fits in well with the Rambam and the Gemara. And in fact, what happened in reality is the problem of the Rambam is that by keeping Shabbat, the non-Jew is sort of starting a new type of religion. He doesn't want to be Jewish. He just wants to keep Shabbat. If he wanted to be Jewish, he'd be a ger. So, and that fits into the Gemara, because the Gemara says if he wanted to do it on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or Monday or Tuesday, I think it's it. So it's not that they want to keep Shabbat. They want to start a new type of religion, which keeping Shabbat is part of that. It says they want to keep Shabbat. It doesn't say they want to be Jewish. And that, is what's happening in the world today. So Shabbat for the non-Jews is Sunday.
So here, let me ask you something, Rabbi. So here's something interesting. Okay, we actually, the Gemara says, Reish Lakish says, Nachri Ovi Kachavim Sheshavas Chayiv Mita. Why? Because there's a pasuk in the Torah that says, Yom V'Layla Lo Yishbotu. Right now, if you just have Reish Lakish, okay, then I would have said that the reason is Hashem doesn't want people to take days off. Doesn't want non-Jews to take days off. You're not allowed. You have to work every single day. It's a mitzvah, similar to Pru Revu Meluat Haaretz V'Kiv Shuha. That's how I would have understood it if I didn't have the Rambam. Okay. That being the case, it's hard for me to understand how Avram can get up and say, no, I'm going to keep Shabbos. Because it's coming at the expense of one of the Sheva mitzvahs, not one of the Sheva mitzvahs, but at the expense of a positive mitzvah to work every day. Okay, we'll leave that aside for a second.
But it does work with the Rambam.
Yeah, fair. So what we saw in Rav Yosef Cairo in the Rambam, the Kesef Mishnah, his explanation of the Rambam is the Rambam doesn't understand it that way at all. The Rambam says, Reish Lakish is not telling you something midaraisa. He's telling you something that the rabbis made up and that they just found a nice little source for in a pasuk in Parashat Noach. And the idea that the rabbis were really saying was post Har Sinai, a non-Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbos because it's like he's making up a new religion. Okay? In which case, actually, if we go backwards, And maybe this is what Avraham Erlanger is saying. There's no question on Avraham at all. Because according to the Rambam, the problem is making up a new religion. But he's not making up a new religion. And there was no danger of making up a new religion because there was no Judaism yet. So the whole question falls away. I think that's fair. What about the fact that the Rambam says Einu Ne'arag? So let's forget the Kesef Mishnah for a second. So Ra'iti B'Sefer HaLikutim Sha'Rambam Katar B'Tshuva L'Gabei Goy Shalamad Torah. Okay, this is the other case. So this is the Rambam in a Tshuva. He says a non-Jew that learns Torah. The Kevin De Lo Amru Ne'arag K'mor B'Shav HaMitzvah Zalei Al Mashma Dezeh Chiyuv Ba'alma V'Lo Ne'arag. He says that's just a Chiyuv. It's not Ne'arag. Meaning the Gemara itself doesn't say Ne'arag. What does the Gemara say? Chayav Mita. Okay. It says chayav mita in both places. It says, but he says, it's the same language that it says for the Shavu Mitzvah. So this is Meir's point, right? Meir, if you get killed for the Shavu Mitzvah, B'nai Noach, then you should be killed for this. Why is it any different? He says, I'm not convinced by this. So the Yad Rama, what he says about this is, Hakavana al Masha Shovet Kigon Biyom Vav, Kama Araviyim, Leshem Abodah Zara, O Bishabat, Leshem Shemaim, Kevin Delo Ifkud, Hava Kigeza. So actually, I'm not sure if he's actually talking about the same issue. No, this is a separate issue. Leave that aside. We'll stick with the Kesef Mishnah for the answer to the question that we asked before. But here's one more point that I wanted to make over here, which we find in the Yad Rama and the Meiri. He says specifically, the Kavana for this, in other words, the Rambam understood that the Gemara was talking specifically about people like the Muslims who have Shabbos on Friday or even on Shabbos L'Shem Shamayim. Why? Because it's like Gezel, similar to what we were saying before. So I was thinking this too. See, the Yad Rama says that the problem with keeping Shabbos is actually a problem of Avodah Zarah. Why? Because you're making up a new religion, right? You're making up a new religion. But he says, but it doesn't really get off the ground because you're not doing anything active. Let's say you keep Shabbos, you don't work, but there's no Maisa there. You need to have a Maisa in order to be Chayav. So it doesn't really work as well.
Can we do a distinction between working and not doing malacha? We are forbidden to do certain malachot on Shabbos. But it's not the same as my going to work necessarily. And a Muslim who has a day off on Friday does not mean that he's not doing malacha, as we know malacha to be.
See, I would have agreed with you. I would have agreed with you 100%. I would have said that when it says goy sheshavas chayv mitzah, that it means that, you know, it means going to work. That's what I would have said also. Problem is that the way that the Achronim get out of all of the cases of a non-Jew keeping Shabbos assumes it's talking about the 39 Malachos. So, you know, this is as good a time as any to tell the Erev story. Yeah, maybe I don't need to tell it. I've told it so many times, the Erev joke. So anybody here, raise your hand if you haven't heard the Erev joke that I'm about to tell. Oh, Simon has not heard it. Fine.
He's heard it.
He's heard it.
I think Simon is being polite.
Let's hear it and see.
Okay, so this is a Brooklyn joke. There were two gentlemen were sitting in the Beit Midrash, and they were learning Gemara, and somebody else came into the room and said, you know, we have eight, we need two more for Kaddish. So one of them closed his Gemara and said, okay, we got to go. And the other one said, no, I'm sorry, we can't do it. Guy said, why? Why not? We have to help them. You know, we learned the sugya that if there's a mitzvah she'efshar lasot al yedei acherim, then you have to do it. So we should get up and go. So the guy says, I know, but we can't do it because I'm not Jewish, so I can't be part of the minyan. So what do you mean you're not Jewish? We've been learning for years. Yeah, I like learning. But you keep Shabbos. We learned the sugya of goy she'shavas chayv misa. He says, no, every morning, every Shabbos morning before I come to shul, I put my key in my pocket and I carry my key in my pocket all the way to shul. The guy says, but we have an Erev. He says, I don't hold of the Erev.
I love it every time you tell it.
Oh, thank you, Simon. Thank you, Simon.
Simon, you love it every time he tells it, but you said you never heard it before.
I wasn't sure which one it was.
Okay.
Anyways, so that's kind of the lines along which the Achronim go in order to get out of this problem. So it's assuming that it is talking about Shabbos, halachic Shabbos. There was one thing that I wanted to do, actually. Here, let's look at the Meiri, I think. Yeah,
Rabbi,
here.
Can I ask Meiri. A quick question about the Rambam?
Yeah.
You said that the Rambam says that somebody who keeps Shabbos alone stir is Chayav Misa, is an Asmachta Ba'alma.
Right.
What does the Ramban say? What do the other sources, what do other people say about a goy who keeps Shabbos? Do they give it that degree and that level of potency?
I don't think so. I'm not sure, but I don't think so. I mean, in halachic sources, I'm pretty sure that we follow the Rambam. But I'm not sure that anybody...
Did they put any goyim to death for keeping Shabbos?
No.
And as an ois, it's something that's meant to connect between us and Hashem?
That's not how the Rambam understood what the rule is. That's not how the Rambam understood what the problem is. Here, take a look at this. Maybe this will make things a little bit clearer. Meiri halach b'derech Rambam. The Meiri almost always follows the Rambam. Le'inyan shelo ne'erag. The Meiri also says he's not killed. V'gam shelo yichadesh minimusav mishalanu. He understands the same way, that the whole point is not, you're not supposed to make things up. Ela b'shekavala atzmo yamim acherim l'shbot bo b'torat chag, sheze nireh kemishehu mibnei amenu, v'ilmedu acherim himenu, aval shar mitzvot ein monin himenu. This is really fascinating. He says, you know what the real problem is? He goes at the next step beyond the Rambam. You know what the real problem is? The real problem is that these people are going to start keeping Shabbat, either on Shabbat or on a different day, but they're not going to do any other mitzvot. So what's going to happen? Other people are going to look at them and say, oh, that's the Sabbath. That's the Sabbath that the Jews do. But then they're going to look at them and they're going to say, but look, they're not doing anything else. They're eating pig and they're doing whatever, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they're going to get confused. They're going to say, oh, this is religion. This is the Jewish religion. What's he thinking of? I think he's definitely thinking of Christianity. This is how Christianity, this was the danger, right? That Christianity was started by Jews. And then eventually it broke off and changed. But it still looked like Judaism. You have this nowadays with Messianic Judaism and et cetera, where they do some things, they don't do other things, and people get confused. Is this Judaism? Is that Judaism? That's the concern. The problem here isn't on the Gavra, okay? The problem isn't on the person who's keeping Shabbos that he's doing something wrong. Right? A non-Jew decides Tuesday is going to be my new Sabbath. The problem is not him. I'm not worried that, you know, it's doing something to him, to his soul, or that he's doing a avodah zarah. No. I'm worried that he's now going to make up this new thing that people are going to follow and start doing Shabbos on Tuesday and think that they're doing something Jewish. That's the problem. That's very interesting.
Isn't the Meiri the one who says that Christianity isn't
a Sorry, Meir, I didn't hear.
Isn't the Meiri the one, Rishon, who says that Christianity isn't a avodah zarah
then? He says it's not a avodah zarah for them. Yeah. He does say that.
Here it seems to be very critical, and right. The implication of this is that they're starting a new religion, which is...
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so.
It seems to me...
The problem is that they're going to learn from them. What was that, Pinchas?
It seems to me that what he says is that Mechazek Yisrael, he looks Jewish... And then they will learn from him the other things where he does not keep the Jewish laws.
That's right.
Not that he does it on another day. He Dafka does it on Shabbat, like it could do.
It could be does on Shabbat. It could be does on another day. But the point is that people are going to learn from him, okay, this is what the Jewish religion is. And that's the concern. That's the concern.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't explain the why he's chayav mita but not killed.
No, he's not explaining that anymore.
I'm talking about that.
No. If Rav Yosef Karo is right, if this is really the reason, why should he be killed? He shouldn't be killed for this.
Why should he be chayev mita?
That means Hashem is going to take care of him. It means that it's really bad. It's a melitza.
What if we get like really sort of technical on the words of azaratan mitatan, that's what it said?
Azaratan mitatan, that means that when the Torah says that it's usher to do it, then it for them, it actually means that they're going to be chayav mita.
But does it also not mean that you don't need azara? You don't need a warning?
No. That's hatra'ah. I'll explain.
Okay.
So I'll explain. Okay. In halacha, this is covered in the Gemara in Makot extensively. In halacha, in halachot of onshin, of penalties, so in order to actually get a penalty, a punishment, there has to be both an azara and an onesh mentioned in the Torah. It's like double. Like it has to say, okay, you're not allowed to be mechalal Shabbat and mechalal amot yumat.
Right.
That's an azara and a mita. But what the Gemara is saying is that if it says that a non-Jew is not allowed to do something, that's all it needs. That's already a chiyuv mita.
But what I'm thinking is maybe the reason that you're not nerag for keeping Shabbat is because Shabbat is not one of the Sheva mitzvot of Bnei Noach. It therefore doesn't fall into this category of not needing azara, and therefore would need azara, and that's why you chayv mita but not kill.
Right, but the Gemara didn't say that, because the Gemara said Azara Mitatan is the problem. And then when it objected and said, why isn't it counted as one of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, all it said was, stylistically, we're not going to mention it as one of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach because it's Kumva Aseh. It doesn't seem to mean that it's not one of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. It just means it's not mentioned in the list. That's why you need the Rambam to come along and say, oh, it's not really one of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. It's just a Melitza. It's just a poetic. Just being poetic,
but maybe that's why you don't you're not neherag because you need. I don't know.
Right. Okay, let's keep going. We get to the avot. I told you about this before that everybody asks how could Avraham keep Shabbos? So the Panim Yafos, who I quoted on Shabbos, this is one of the Rebbeim of the Chatam Sofer. So he says. On this pasuk in our parsha, Yom v'Laila lo yishbotu, he quotes our Gemara, Goyish Shavat chayav mita, etc., etc. And he says, wait a second, Hiksham afarshim, Avram Avinu kept the entire Torah, Ech shamar Shabbat shlo nistave alav. How could he keep Shabbat? So he says, V'nir de lo kasha, ki kodem at the Torah, nahaya alayla nimshach achar hayom. A few people give this answer. The Aruch Liner also gives this answer. He says, before Har Sinai, the way that we kept time was the day was followed by the night. It wasn't vayhi erev vayhi voker. It was yom valayla lo yishbotu. Which means, how does a goy shavat? He would have to keep Shabbos from the morning till the night. Ad shamar lo kadosh baruch hu me'erev ad erev tishpitu shabbatchem. That's what we were told from night to night. V'cheinu omer kan yom v'layla liyishbotu. Haynu shelo yishbotu yom v'achar kach layla. V'eino chayav mita alim Shabbat ad sof alayla. How do you become chayav mita for keeping Shabbos before the Torah was given? You have to do it from the morning through the night until the next morning. So what do you think Avram did? It says that Avram kept Shabbos. So what do you think he did? Shmirat Shabbat shel Avraham Avinu haya kamo shehiyah achar matan Torah. Dahinu shehayom holech achar laila. He started on Friday night, kept Saturday morning, and then made Havdalah on Saturday night, which meant that he never took off an entire day to night. So he was cool. He was fine. There was no problem with what he did. Okay? So this is one trick to get out of it. The Panim Yafos gives this, Aruch Haner, others give it as well. Here's another trick. This is kind of what I think Rabbi was saying. The Chatam Sofer quotes this in somebody's name. Shamati b'shem Kadmon Echad. Liyashiv Kushis Parshas Drachim. Right, that's the Parshas Drachim. Echim Ovedin Torah Halo Goy Sheshavat Chayav Mita. V'tiretz Gaon De Lavshu Talit Mitzuyetet Kil Chata B'Shabbat. He wore a talit with tzitzit, with the tzitziot at the end. Why does that matter? De LiYisrael Tachshitu U'Libnei Noach Masuyu. If he's viewed as a Yisrael, then good. He's wearing tzitzit. He needs the tzitziot because he's Jewish, and therefore it's not carrying. It's part of his clothing. But if he's a non-Jew, he doesn't need the tzitziot. They serve no purpose, in which case he's carrying them, and he's violating Shabbos, which is good. Okay.
So then why would he wear it in the first place?
What?
So why would he wear it in the first place then?
He's doing a miman of shach. Avram is saying, you know what? I'm not sure if I'm Jewish or if I'm not Jewish. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wear tzitzit. In case I'm Jewish, it's all fine. In case I'm not Jewish, this will get me out of it. I'm carrying my key in my pocket. Okay?
So I'm not learning Torah because I might be Jewish and therefore I'll be chayav mitzvah for Torah.
So you're saying that the other side, the learning Torah business.
There's a problem there, yeah.
Okay, fine. Yeah, nobody's dealing with that one. Everybody's interested in the keeping Shabbos one. Here, look at this one. The Minchas Chinuch, he has two fancy ways out. We'll just look at one of them. The Minchas Chinuch, basically, he says that in order to get out of it, what did Avram do? He actually, the Minchas Chinuch sees this as a real halachic problem because he says, what do you do if you have somebody who you don't know if they're Jewish? You could have this, you know, in a classic case, you could have an Asufi, an orphan, a boy who was found, and he's found in a city where it's like half Jewish, half not Jewish. You don't know what he is. So what do you do with him? Or, you know, what happens if you have, modern day problem? You have a student in a Jewish school, and it turns out that his mother is, to be stereotypical, of Russian descent. And they have no idea whether or not she's Jewish or not. Could be Jewish, could be not Jewish. We have no idea. We have no clue. So the child, we don't know. So he's sitting in the Talmud Torah, right? This has happened, by the way. He's sitting in the Talmud Torah, and they don't know. Are we allowed to teach him Torah or not? Is he allowed to keep Shabbos or not? So what do you do? So I don't know if anybody's ever suggested that you follow the Minchas Chinuch. Well, he has two answers. Minchas Chinuch's first answer is Chatzi Shir. Shi'urin lo ne'emru lebnei Noach. V'imkein lo mibayel ha'sorvim to be suri Shabbos. What you should do is you should have them on Shabbos do something that's chatzi shir asur. So, for example, a person who does boer with chatzi shir, chatzi zayit, or something like that. I don't know. Or he carries a half shir outside. So
carries for two amos. Yes.
Okay, fine. That's good. He carries two amos. So this really gets into actually the lumdus of carrying, whether or not that's a chatzi malacha or if it's not a malacha at all. But let's leave that aside for a second. So if he's Jewish, so he didn't violate Shabbos completely because it was only chatzi shir, and it's not asur min haTorah. It's asur min haTorah, but he's not chayav misa for it. And if he's non-Jewish, so there are no shiurim, so even a chatzi shir is a shir. So he violated Shabbos. Okay, Ima Sufi, what's Peinun? Peinun means Jewish. I don't know what Peinun is. If he's Jewish, Harelu Shabbat, the Bnei Noach, sorry, means Jewish. Ima Sufi Peinun, Harelu Shabbos, the Bnei Noach lo nitnu shirin. There's no such thing as shir, so there's no such thing as chatzi shir. So he didn't keep Shabbos. Imu Yisrael, hare lo asah isur melacha klal, kevan de melacha Shabbos lo nasar chatzi shir. Okay, this is what I was talking about before, that there's actually, there is no chatzi shir on Shabbos. So so the two amos thing, he didn't actually violate Shabbos at all. Right? If you carry two amos, that's not hotzah. That's not havara. It's nothing. But if you're not Jewish, so two amos apparently could be hotzah. Fine, leave that alone first. That's his first answer. That it's
maybe a better example might be writing one letter. Am I correct that Kotev, the issue of Kotev, is writing two letters?
I'm not sure if it's a better example or not. It could be that writing one letter is nothing. I mean, for sure, for us, it's certainly nothing. You're allowed to write one letter, but what's a really good example of Chatzi Shir on Shabbos? This is part of the lumdus. It's hard to find Chatzi Shir on Shabbos. What would be an easy example of Chatzi Shir on Shabbos? I think it would have to be like maybe it would be like Kotzer. No, I don't know if there is a Shir.
What about if you did a Anacha without Nakira? No. Without a Nakira? No.
It's probably not a Malach at all.
Is there anything?
We need something where the Shi'ur is a size. I think.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Erasing half a letter?
What?
Erasing half a letter?
I don't know. Don't know.
What? Tochen. Tochen's visual.
Digging a certain round.
So bishul, maybe if you cooked bishul, a small enough piece, maybe. No, because half cooking is not cooking. Half cooking is not cooking. No, but that's nothing. That's going to be nothing. But maybe if you cooked, maybe if you cooked something really small, maybe that would be a chatzis shear. I'm not sure. Anyways, that's one answer that he gives. But another answer that he gives is, where is it? The other answer he gives is similar to what we saw before, which is that let's say a kid, you don't know if he's Jewish or not. Okay? You have a kid, you don't know if he's Jewish or not. So what happens if he keeps Shabbos? So according to the Rambam, is that a problem? He thinks he's Jewish. He's hoping he's Jewish. So is that a problem? No, because he's not being mechadesh dat. He's trying to be Jewish. Yeah, you could do gir l'chumra. But until you do gir l'chumra, is there anything wrong with him keeping Shabbos? No, he's being a Jew. He's allowed to be a Jew. If he was doing it because he said he's a Zoroastrian, that's a different story. But he's doing it because he thinks he's a Jew. Okay, so that's the circuit over there. I see we're basically out of time. Let me just give you the highlights over here of Goy Shalemat Torah. Who was it? It was Rabbi, I think. Rabbi, you pointed out that there's a Gemara in Chagiga that says, Ein Amar Yami, Ein Mosrin Divrei Torah Lenochri, which means you're not allowed to teach a non-Jew. Our Gemara says a non-Jew is not allowed to learn Torah. Here in the Gemara in Chagiga says you're not even allowed to teach him. Shneamar, Lo Asachin Lechol Goy Umushpatim Bal Yedaum. Not supposed to teach them. Tosa says, this is a problem. I don't understand. If he's not allowed to learn, then of course he's not allowed to teach. Why are you not allowed to teach if he's not allowed to learn? It's a different mitzvah. What's it called?
Lifnei Iver.
Why do I need a separate pasuk to tell me that I'm not allowed to teach a non-Jew if he's not allowed to learn? What do you say?
Do non-Jews have Lifnei Iver?
No, we have Lifnei Iver on non-Jews. That's a separate discussion, but that's most likely yes. We most likely do have Lifnei Iver on non-Jews. So what's going on? It's Lifnei Iver. Why do I need a separate pasuk to tell me, a separate lima to tell me that I'm not allowed to teach a non-Jew? I already know I'm not allowed to teach a non-Jew. So one answer that they give is in the sugya of Lifnei Iver. So if you remember, the sugya of Lifnei Iver, which is found in Avodah Zarah, so one of the quirky cases is what happens of when you have that Lifnei Iver is only a problem when it's Trei Ivri Dinahara, which means that you're on one side of the river and the Nazir is on another side of the river, the other side of the river, and you throw him a bottle of wine. That's Lifnei Iver. But what if you're both on the same side of the river and you pass him the bottle of wine? So the Gemara says, that's not Lifnei Iver because he could get it himself. If he can get it himself, then there's no Lifnei Iver. So the Tosa says, Mayri, afilu hecha deiko vid kochavim acher sherotze lelamdo deleika Lifnei Iver. Our pasuk over here in Chagiga is talking about a case where the non-Jew wants to learn Torah, yeah? He can open up an art school if he wants. He can open up a Sensino, he can open up Steinsaltz, he can open up anything he wants. It's translated into English. He can go to the University of Wisconsin and there's going to be someone there who's going to teach him Torah if he wants. So you might think that if that's the case, then I'm allowed to teach him Torah as well. If he can open up an art school, then maybe I'm allowed to teach him Torah. That's what this pasuk is coming to tell you. No, you're still not allowed to teach him Torah. It's not because of Lifnei Iver that you're not allowed to teach him Torah. It's because you're not allowed to teach Torah to a non-Jew. It's a totally separate thing. Now, what are you not allowed to teach? So I know that we're running out of time, self-imposed time, but what are you not allowed to teach? So here, at the very least, you have a major machlokes, basically achronim. Okay, you have the Yamshel Shlomo, Maharshal. So he says, this is a famous tshuva that he gives, which covers a lot of other issues including distorting Torah. And whether or not you're allowed to distort Torah on pain of death. But what interests us over here is that he seems to say, even though he's actually talking about the inverse, he's talking about how bad it is to teach non-Jews Torah. What he says is, V'lo yiniach le'akatuv ha-Torah shabal peh, k'dei shalo yahafchu le'minut, k'dei ita b'perkat Rabbi Lazar, imkin otan anashim ha-chata'im v'nafshotam v'bukufam la'afer atzat Hashem ha-shalomdim im ha-umot, v'il ha-nivtei t'gadol v'nam yisov v'lo yiru b'nachamot Zion. He says, He says that the real problem is teaching them Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebichtav, you're allowed to teach them. Now, why would one say that you're allowed to teach them Torah Shebichtav, even if you're not allowed to teach them Torah Shebal Peh? Why would one say that? What would be the basis of that?
Because Moshe had to write the whole Torah Be'er Hetev.
Yafeh. What does that mean, Be'er Hetev, Mer?
70 languages.
Yeah, he translated into 70 languages, and it wasn't just Yoshua. Yoshua wrote it on the stone, right? In the Yarden, he wrote it on the stones. He wrote it in all the languages so that the non-Jews would be able to read it, okay? So the other position, though, and this is the Tzitz Eliezer quotes this Maharshal, the Tzitz Eliezer of Eliezer Waldenberg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he says, Yesh lomoche is a rak belima Torah Shebal Peh. Well, Torah Shebichtav mutar lamdam. So it's only a problem to teach Gemara and Mishnah and Agadah Tanya, etc., and Rashi for that matter. That's what the Maharshal says. But he says, "Oops, you have a different opinion." He says in the Shilta Giborim is another Achron. The Shilta Giborim, he refines it a little bit, and he says that actually you're only allowed to teach Nach. Okay, you're not allowed to teach Chumash, but you're allowed to teach Nach. Why? Because all Yehoshua translated was
Sefer Yehoshua.
Sorry, one second. Did I say the opposite of what I meant? Oh, no, I said it right. He's ignoring Yehoshua. Yeah. The Shulta Giborim says you're not allowed to teach Chumash, but you are allowed to teach Nevim and Ketuvim. Why? Because it's Chumash that's more Ashakilat Yaakov. Right, not necessarily Nevi'im and Ketuvim. Mash Masharati Rakam Nevi'im and Ketuvim. HaTorah Asur LaLamdam Afilu Shebichtav. Okay. So one distinction to be made is Torah Shebichtav versus Torah Shebichtav, and the other distinction to be made is Nevi'im and Ketuvim and Torah. Let me make one other distinction. The Netziv, he writes something different actually in a tshuva, but this is what he writes in his commentary on our Gemara. And we'll end with this point, I think. The Netziv says, really, it's all about the quality of the learning that the Goy is doing. We've already established that he's definitely allowed to learn Hilchos B'nei Noach, right? So we're only interested in things that are not Hilchos B'nei Noach, that are not Lamaisa. So he says, Goy she'osek b'torah davka she'mechadesh halacha b'limudo, zeu nikra osek. The only problem with teaching, with a non-Jew learning Torah and probably with us teaching them Torah, is when you teach it on a deep level. Hainu perish asher yasa ha'adam. Hainu shemotzi alacha mitoch iuno shenikra al shmo. When he makes himself into an adam. Matchila kim b'torat Hashem chavtzo v'achar kach b'torat toyagesh. Hini kreit shaloshu osa'a v'alzeh huzaru goyim. What he's prohibited to do is to make the Torah his own. For him to, this is Rabbi, this is what you were saying before, I think. This is connected to the Netziv. You said before, what is the problem? He learns Torah. How does that hurt us? It doesn't do anything. He learns a little bit of Torah and he walks away with a little bit of Torah. What's the problem? So the Netziv says, you're right. As long as his learning is shitchi, is surface level, he's just getting information. He wants to know what's in the book. That's fine. But the moment he tries to make a kinyan on it, and we believe that when you learn Torah and you're mechadesh, then it becomes your Torah. It's your chelik in the Torah. That's gezel. He's taking somebody else's chelik in the Torah. V'ainu shatosos Baba Kama amdu al hadakamar krao v'shano v'shilsho. The Gemara in Baba Kama says that the problem is when he learns, when a person learns and reviews it, and then goes over it a third time. Tosos says hare over alif ne'ever shachayev mita. If you teach it to him that many times, v'dafka al havishilsho, then it's tziv is medayik. The problem when you teach Torah to a non-Jew three times, the problem is the third time. Because what happens in the third time? So he quotes the Gemara in Sota that says, "Nishtal shalu ba'arvot moav demashma sheher emoshel yisrael derech hadashu ha'pilpul lachkor lohotzi hora ide'iun v'zeh asur b'umata olam." The problem is when you learn it the third time, because that's when you start to come up with chidushim. I think there's a lot we can learn from this, by the way, that a person shouldn't try to come up with chidushim after learning something once. And maybe not even after learning it a second time. A person has to learn it several times in order to come up with chidushin. This is a lesson for us. But the idea over here would be that that's the problem with a non-Jew. If he goes and delves into it, if you teach it to him over and over and over, and you start discussing it with him until you come up with new ideas, that's the problem. But if a person asks you a question and you simply tell them the answer, or you say, okay, go look into this over here, or, oh, this is interesting, you said this, that's considered, okay, that's not so bad. In general, Rabbi Rasner said, and also Rabbi Ari Leibowitz said, the ways around this issue are much more vast than the pitfalls of the issue. We can almost always find ways around the issue of teaching Torah to non-Jews. Very often, it's not only to non-Jew, it's to a non-Jew and to other people in the room, which is usually okay. Like, I've given shiur only once or twice in SAP, where I work, and for some reason, I was asked to give it, and for some reason, one of my Arab coworkers showed up. So I thought to myself, what do I do? You know, he wants to learn. What should I do? And I realized, if he's just learning along with everybody else, there's no problem. I mean, he had no idea what I was talking about. Anyways, but most of them also didn't have any idea what I was talking about. Anyways, but that's a separate issue. But Hiratzon, we should be able to be Marbitz Torah to the rest of the world.
I heard a lecture by his name is Jubrin. He was a high court judge in Israel, and he told how during his studies, when they were studying Mishpat Ivri, he studied together with a bachor from Yeshivat Hebron.
Yeah. There you go.
You may remember that the Rav, our previous Rav in Brooklyn, Rabbi Goldstein, he once said that once the Goyim accept our testament as theirs, then they feel they have the right to create a new testament.
Uh-huh.